You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bible, Psalm 34 tonight, please, the book of Psalms, and then Psalm 34. And we'll be going through this psalm tonight. I pray God will speak to our hearts. I'm honored and excited to be here today, and I've been praying for this meeting. And Brother Flood, I remember I was sitting in a parking lot in Altoona, Pennsylvania, when you called me and asked me to come back and be a part of youth conference. And even then, Brother Flood was talking about what he wished and hoped that God would do during this meeting. And really, everything that has taken place and everything that will take place, really, the thrust behind it is to help you to look unto Jesus and that God might work in your heart. And here it is. God is more real than we realize. And God is interested in you. And it's amazing to me that the God of eternity would take time out of everything He's got going on to be interested in your life and in mine. And He is. And God wants to use you in a great way. Pastor, thank you for letting me come. I appreciate the opportunity to come and stand here. It kind of just felt normal to be here and to preach behind Brother Martinez. And I appreciate his singing. And it doesn't matter what the service is. Once he gets up there to sing, it just kind of makes it all right, doesn't it? I don't know how he does it because he's not spiritual at all. But somehow that happens. I don't know. Just goes to show you don't have to be saved to be a blessing. All right, Psalm 34. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1 and then read down through verse number 8 tonight. And looking forward to hearing these other men preach as well, Brother Brown, Brother Stroud, Brother Flood, and everyone who's going to be preaching in this meeting and praying that God will meet with us tonight. I want to preach a message that really was stirred in my heart because of the theme of the conference. Psalm 34 and verse number 1. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. I want to draw your attention to verse number 8, and we'll go through the first 7 verses as well, but verse number 8 is my text verse, and I want you to notice the statement. If you study it out, really, it's building and it's building and it's building. It is testimony, it is testimony, it is bragging on what God is and what God has done. And then finally, David comes down to verse 8 and said, it has been so good in my life that I want you to experience that in your life. And he said, my desire is this, that you would taste and see or try and find that God is good. Without exception, without question, without variation, the Lord is good. For a little while tonight, I want to show you a declaration, and then I want to extend you an invitation. And I just want to preach on this thought for a minute. The Lord is good. It was a big day when somebody discovered gold. It's a great day when somebody discovered America. It's a big day when somebody discovered oil in a field in Texas. But the greatest discovery that you could ever make in your life is to discover more than cold fact on white paper, but a burning truth in your own experience that the Lord is good. For a little while, you pray with me and we'll think on this thought. The Lord is good. God, I pray that you'd help me preach. I pray for power. And I pray you'd help these young men and young ladies to taste and see tonight. Help us, Lord, to lift you up, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I was preaching in Eden, North Carolina, just back in May. And a 90-year-old man came from another church to hear me preach that night. And he and I sat together at supper. And he began to tell me about all the preachers that he had been privileged to sit under and listen to preach. And you just named the name, and he had been there, and he'd heard them preach. And he was relaying to me stories about meetings he'd been in and the life God had blessed him with. And he began to talk about the wife he had and the children and then all the grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And tears began to well up in his eyes. And he said this. He said, I'll be honest with you. He said, Jesus has been far more than I could ever imagine. And he looked at me and said, God has been good in my life. A preacher from the past was reading and commenting on this psalm, and he said the first 10 verses are like a hymn of the faith, and the last 12 verses are like a sermon. Most psalms deal with prophecy and talk about the second coming, but this is a psalm of passionate worship and practical instruction. In the opening verses of this song, David shows us the expression of love that he has for his Lord. In verse 1 through 3, we find that expression. He said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I like that because David didn't have a dormant faith. David didn't have a lifeless devotion. David's love for God wasn't wrapped in wet clothes or in some cold tub soaking somewhere, but he burned with passion for God. And the passion that burned on the inside poured forth on the outside. At the very beginning of the song, David goes ahead and expresses his resolve to rejoice in the Lord. The very first word of the psalm says, I, and I like that. He said, I don't care if anybody else gets in on it, but I've made up my mind that God has been too good for me to be silent. God's been too good for me to be still, and I'm going to make up my mind that I am going to exalt the Lord. He said, God has been good in my life. Some things have happened to me, and I can say with heart's expressed emotion that God has been good continually. God has been good consistently, and God has been good completely. Here's what David did not do. David did not put his praise on pause. He let that play in the background of his life. He kept his heart tied to his harp, and he said, I'm going to make it known that God has been good to me. There's several aspects of David's praise. First, David wants to make the Lord happy. He said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. Then David wanted to make the Lord lovely. He said, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Then he wants to make the Lord known. He said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Then he wants to make the Lord big. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And by the way, that's not a microscopic magnification. That's a telescopic magnification. Because a microscope takes a small thing and makes it big. But a telescope reaches out to a big thing, brings it close so you can see it better. I'll say you can't make God any bigger than what he is. But I'm glad when you start to praise God and you start to worship the Lord and you make much of him, God will get real big in your life. He wants to make him happy. He wants to make him lovely. He wants to make him known. He wants to make him big, and he wants to make him high, because he said, let us exalt his name. But here's what I like. He wants company while he does it. He said, let's exalt his name together. He said, God's been too good for me to be shouting on my own. God has been too good for me to be in a praise chorus with no help. It's ought to be a choir, not a solo. He said, God's been good to me, and the Lord's been good to you. He said, let's just join together. Let's lift him up. Let's make him happy. Let's make him known, and let's make him big, and let's do it together. I love that. And all of those emotions and all of that devotion comes pouring out of the heart of David. And in verse 8, he says, it's been so good in my life that I want it to be real and good in your life. And he said, I would to God that you would just taste him. Just try the Lord. Just test it for a minute, and you'll find that the Lord is good. When you begin to read verse 4 through verse number 7, it talks about David's experience. He was talking about a time when he needed delivered, when his life was in distress, when he saw himself as a poor man, a man with no power, a man that was destitute and a man on the run. But in spite of the circumstances, God stepped in and saved him out of all of his troubles. Now you look back in the Old Testament, and this is from 1 Samuel. Chapter 21, when David's on the run from Saul, you know the story, how God had anointed David and he would be king, but Saul is jealous of David and he drives him from his court. He throws a javelin at him. David runs and David has to flee, and David hides in a field, and then from the field he goes to a priest and he lies to the priest, and then from there he goes to Gath, and you know Goliath was from Gath, and he goes to the king Achish there, and they find out who David is, and David has flesh to act like he's a crazy man. Let me say this, the flesh will make you act like a fool. Say amen right there. David's fearing for his life. He begins to beat on the door and spit and foam at the mouth. And that king said, we got enough crazy folk around here. He said, it's probably like your youth group. We got enough of them. We don't need another one. And he said, we got enough crazy people here. Get on out of here. And so David goes from that to a cave, the cave of Adullam. Now think about this. David has tasted and seen that Saul is bitter. David has tasted and seen that position is vain. David has tasted and seen that what he thought was secure was not all that secure. Everything has been taken from him. He doesn't have his friend. He doesn't have his king. He doesn't have his countrymen. He doesn't have his armor. He doesn't have anybody with him except a crowd of indebted, discontented, and disgruntled vagabonds. And in that situation, David, with everything else stripped away, had nothing else to do but to throw himself upon God. But hallelujah and happy day, he found out that when he threw himself on God, everything else might have had a bitter taste, but the Lord was sweet. And he said, here's what I discovered. I couldn't trust in Saul. I couldn't depend upon Jonathan. I couldn't rely on my position. I couldn't anchor my faith in my status. But I have found this. When all others fail and all others flee and everyone else forsakes, when you're dwelling in the cave and not in the court of the king, that God is still on his throne and God is still there for me. And I have found that the Lord is good when the rain falls or the sun shines. He said, I've discovered the Lord is good. Taste and see. Now, if you're going to taste something, that is something personal. He's not saying you taste it. He said, I taste it. Not only is it personal, it talks about the proximity. To taste something, you have to be close to it. And then we find the product of his tasting. He said, once I tasted, I saw how good the Lord is. I thought about this. Somebody could come to you and say, chocolate's sweet. And you could stand up here and preach it to this crowd and say, chocolate's sweet. But the first time somebody tried to combat you on that, you would probably cave because all you're doing is relaying somebody else's experience. But then I come to you and give you some chocolate and you taste it and you find out for yourself, hey, he's right. Hey, chocolate is sweet. I don't care if somebody comes to you and tries to tell you that it's sour or tries to tell you that it's bitter or tries to tell you that it's salty. You'll say, no, no, no. You're not going to knock me off my position. I have for myself stepped out and I have tried it. It has touched my lips and it has touched my tongue. And I can tell you firsthand, not because somebody sang it, not because somebody else preached it, not because I read it in a book somewhere, but I tried it for myself and I found that chocolate is sweet. That is what David is saying. David is saying, I might have heard about it before. They sung about it before. Somebody else might have relayed it before, but now I know. I don't need you to tell it. I don't need you to recite it. I have lived it for myself and I will say that the Lord is good. I thought about this. The world hunts for happiness down every highway. They seek for satisfaction down every street. They buy and build and pay and trade, trying to find something they can get a hold of that will fulfill their desires. And yet they never find what that thing is. And yet David now says, you can stop your searching. You can quit your hunting. I have found what you've been looking for. He said, there's only one source to satisfy the craving, and that source is of the Lord. He said, I can't make it any plainer than this. If you'll just give God a try, if you'll just trust him by faith, you will discover, like the rest of us have, that the Lord is good. There might be some things I could preach to you tonight, and I could not be sure about it. I could preach to you politics, but they are not always good. I could preach to you about money, but it is not always good. I could preach to you about sports, but it is not always good. I could preach about myself, but I am not always good. But I'm glad I can stand and say, and I don't have to shake or tremble. I don't doubt the declaration one bit. Without a doubt, I can say that the Lord is good. I might preach the mountain too high. I might preach the painting too beautiful, but I'll never exhaust the goodness of God. I'll say tonight, I know without a shadow of a doubt, the Lord is good. Without apology, without hesitation, the Lord is good. Hey, that was a pretty good day when some man said, I discovered gold. It was probably a big day when somebody just said, I discovered the Mississippi River. It might have been exciting when Columbus said, I discovered a new world. But it'll be a great day in your life when you find out for yourself that it's more than hearsay and it's more than empty rhetoric, but it is true and truth of truth that the Lord is good. I want you to hear me. The Lord is good every day. The Lord is good every hour. And the Lord is good every minute. The Lord is good every year. The Lord is good every month. The Lord is good every week. The Lord is good in the winter. The Lord is good in the spring. The Lord is good in the summer. And the Lord is good in the fall. I found the Lord is good when I sin. The Lord is good when I serve. The Lord is good when I sleep. The Lord is good when I'm awake. The Lord has been good. The Lord is good. And tomorrow I'll bet you that the Lord will be good. Yesterday I found him good. Today I found him good. And tomorrow he'll still be good. The Lord was good in creation when he began to sculpt everything out of nothing. The Lord was good when he breathed and all of a sudden the planet appeared. The Lord was good when water covered the globe. The Lord was good when the dry land separated the water and the seas. The Lord was good when grass began to grow. And the Lord was good when the animals began to live. And the Lord was real good when he breathed in a pile of dead dirt and that pile of dead dirt became a living soul. I'll say the Lord was good to Adam when he sinned in the garden. The Lord was good to Noah when he stood in his generation. The Lord was good to Abraham when he stepped out by faith. The Lord was good to Jacob when he stole the blessing. The Lord was good to Joseph when he was sold into slavery. The Lord was good to Moses when he was a shepherd. The Lord was good to Joshua in the shadow of the wall of Jericho. Some of you tonight are not acting like I'm telling the truth. And I promise you tonight, I ain't lying. I'm telling you the truth. The Lord was good to Hannah when he gave her a Samuel. The Lord was good to Samson when he stretched his arms to the pillar. The Lord was good to Elijah in his showdown on Carmel. The Lord was good to Jonah when he was swallowed by a whale. The Lord was good to Jeremiah when he sunk in the mire. The Lord was good to Isaiah when he got to see the Lord on his throne. The Lord is good. The Lord was good to John the Baptist when he was filled with the Spirit. The Lord was good to Mary when he wrapped her in his shadow. The Lord was good in Cana at a supper when he made water into wine. The Lord was good when he called Andrew by the seashore. The Lord was good when Bartimaeus got his sight. The Lord was good to a woman at a well in Samaria. The Lord was good to Lazarus when he was so dead that he stunk. The Lord was good to Zacchaeus in a branch of a sycamore tree. The Lord was good to 5,000 when he gave him a snack. The Lord was good to a palsied man whenever he lowered him through the shingles. The Lord was good to Nicodemus when he got a spiritual birth. The Lord was good to Peter when he sank in the sea. The Lord was good to Malchus when his ear was severed. The Lord was good to a maniac when he cast out the evil spirit. The Lord was good to a thief on the cross in the final seconds of his life. And the Lord is good to every single one of us. I want you to know tonight that the goodness of God did not start when you began to acknowledge it, but before you ever knew there was a God, there was a God who knew you. And the goodness of God and the Lord has been good from the beginning, and he's good tonight. You don't have to comprehend it for it to be true that the Lord is good. The goodness of God, the goodness of the Lord does not weaken with time or change with circumstance or alter or falter, nor does it fail. The Lord is good because he is the Lord. The Lord is good because of who he is. The Lord is good because of what he does. The Lord is good because of why he does what he does. Psalm 27 says, I'd fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Psalm 135, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Psalm 33, verse 5 says, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Psalm 107, verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I want to say that the Lord is good. You young people tonight, I want you to understand something. He's more than you could ever imagine. He's more than I could ever explain. He's more than I could ever define. He's more than I could ever preach. He is more than you could ever sing. He's more than you could ever make. He's higher than you could ever build. God goes beyond and reaches higher and goes deeper. He is so good. I mean, goodness upon goodness. And my challenge tonight is this. If I can just convince you to give God a try, to give the Lord a chance, to come and taste and see, and you'll find that the Lord is good. I can't stand up here and preach with an honest heart that any other thing in this world is actually good. Because even if they're good in the moment, they're not good without fail. There is nothing in this world that is 100% trustworthy or totally unchanging or totally without sin. There is nothing else in this world that has an unbroken track record that we can look on and say, they'll be perfect in faithfulness and goodness. But I can tell you this, the Lord marks off every one of those points on the list, and He's good. I can't tell you tonight money will always be good. I can't tell you your friends will always be good. I can't preach to you that church will always be good. I can't preach to you that the government will ever be good. Say amen there. I can't preach to you that preachers are always good. And I can't tell you that a president will always be good. I can't preach to you that the family will always be good, or the weather will be good, or that the food you eat will always be good. I can't promise you the car that you'll buy and drive will always be good. I can't promise you that the health that you have will always be good. I don't know that every day of your life will always be good, but I can say this tonight, the Lord will always be good. Without a doubt, we can shout that from the highest mountain in this world, that the Lord is good. Christ Himself said there's none good but one, and that is God. I thought about that statement, the Lord is good. There is. The Lord is good. There is a sole source of good. There's a sovereign source of good. The Lord is. There's a sure source of good. The Lord is. And because we have those three words, the Lord is, we can throw on that last word, good. Because God lives, thank God, we can have faith in that. And I want you to know something here tonight, that God is good. Water is wet and God is good. The sun is hot and God is good. Night is dark and God is good. The Lord is good. If north is up, then God is good. If south is down, then God is good. The east and the west, God is good. When everyone forsakes you, when things fall apart, on the high and the low days, God is good. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Follow the Lord and here's what you'll discover. He's good. Try the Lord and here's what you'll find. He's good. Here's what's amazing. He was good when He knew you before you ever existed. He was good when He formed you in the womb of your mother. He was good when He allowed you to be born. He was good when He gave you your breath. He was good when you didn't know Him. He was good when you didn't love Him. He was good when you didn't want Him. And He's good when you don't acknowledge Him. He was good every time you broke His heart. He was good when you ignored His voice. He was good when you lived for yourself and not for Him. He was good when He went to Calvary. Hallelujah for that. He was good. He was good to give you a Bible. He was good to let you hear a preacher. He was good to plant you in a church. He was good to let you live in America. He was good to convict your heart with the Holy Spirit. He was good to give you a second chance when you strayed. Oh my, oh, He was good. He was good to let you be in His family. He was good to let you pray. He was good to give you peace. He was good to give you comfort. He's good to use your life. He's good to let you be in His Word. He's good to keep you in His will. And I want you to know tonight, the Lord is good. Thank God for the fact. That's a definite statement. There's no doubt about it. The Lord is good. But then, not only is there this definite statement, this declaration, then there's this invitation. The Lord is good. And David said, but here's what you got to do. Taste and see. The reason we have this song, the first portion of the song, is God had been so good in David's life. He's bragging on the fact. He said, man, I was poor, broken, had nothing. And I found out in that moment when I couldn't depend upon anybody else, I could depend upon God. And he said, I just want to go on record and just give me a minute to brag on the Lord. And that's what I've been trying to do for the first part of this long introduction, is just brag on the fact the Lord is good. And I want to testify and say that the Lord's been good in my life. And the Lord is good in my life. And the Lord, I promise, He'll be good in my life. God is always good. But David said, because God has been so good, he said, I don't want to keep that to myself. My desire is not for me to have that and hold that and hog that. I want to share that with others. And he said, my heart's desire, my longing is this. With energy, I exhort you and I beg you, I invite you to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And I tell you, Brother Flood, I believe that that is what was invested in every prayer for youth conference and every piece of money that was put in the plate for this meeting and all the labor and work in building the platform and putting all this up and all the folks who drove you on a bus and paid your way and let you come to this meeting, is that some folks have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. There's some of us, hey, that we weren't born in an atmosphere like this, and we didn't get to come to a meeting like this, and we didn't have some spiritual silver silver spoon. We got out there in the world and the devil had us by the throat, but hallelujah, one day Jesus passed by and he saved us by his grace, and we found that it sure is good to know the Lord. It sure is good to be saved. And I tell you what it did in my heart. It put a fire inside of me that I want you to taste it, and I want you to taste it, and I want you to taste it, and I want you to taste it. Because can't nobody be as good as God is in your life if you'll just taste and see. You'll find out he's good. You step out by faith and give God a try. You can't beat his will. You can't beat his way. You can't beat what he'll do with you. If you'll get involved in his work, there's no God like our God. He's a good God. Would you taste and see that he's good? Taste and see. Would you try the Lord? Would you just trust him? Would you just say, you know what? Let me just give God a chance. I like the Old Testament verse. It says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy. And eat ye, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Yes, David tasted a lot of things physically, spiritually. Finest food, best wine, sweetest dessert, freshest fruits, all the things the world could offer. He'd seen beauty and riches beyond compare. He tasted success and sorrow, joy and hurt. He said, but can't nothing compare to what I found in God. And he said, I sure wish that you'd join with me in this thing and realize how good God is, and let us magnify his name together. I tell you what that does. It moves you away from lifeless singing and robotic repetition of religious jargon and rhetoric. It moves you past going through the motions to devotion. It moves you past doing right to actually wanting to be right. Oh my. It'll relocate you and the center of your religion from something that you can see and touch and feel to something that is supernatural. It goes from a head of information to a heart of transformation. When you taste and see that the Lord is good, you'll realize that God is more than you ever could have dreamed. It will blow your mind, and it'll say, the Lord is good is the song of all those who should be, of all those who've been saved, and all those who've been through a storm or two, and all those who know what it is to be let down in life and find that God is still there. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsake him, nor his seed begging bread. He said, you just taste and see, and you'll find that he is our rock, and he is our refuge, and he is our strength, and he is our song, and he is our friend, and he is our father. He is water and bread and a shield in our life. Taste and see. I beg you, pray and watch God answer. Pray and watch God answer. Cry and watch God dry your tears. Have a need and watch God supply it. Have a want and watch God give you the want. Preach and watch him fill you with the Spirit. Study and watch him teach you something that you never knew. Read your Bible and hear and speak to your heart. Go and watch him send you forth. Witness and watch him let you lead a soul to Christ. Repent and watch God forgive you of your sin. Confess and watch the Lord cleanse you of unrighteousness. Try the Lord, and you'll find him faithful. Maybe you're here tonight and you're skeptical. Let me just say this. The only reason you're skeptical is because you've never tasted. Because you don't see until you taste. And the only way to find out is to give God a try. You taste sugar, you find out it's sweet. You eat a steak and you find that's savory. You taste spinach, and I don't know what that's like. I only go so far with these things, but you taste those things, then the rest of your life you're going to say, now I know what that tastes like. The Lord. Amen. Taste and see. Yeah. I think about the personal nature, and we'll close. The personal nature of this psalm, he said, it'll be up to you to decide to discover what we're trying to get you to discover. It is not a thing by proxy, just because you're here. It's not something that we do, you know, in a group. I tell people this when I pray. Salvation is not between me, you, and God. Salvation is between you and God. Serving God is not between me, you, and God. It's between you and God. Living right is not between me, you, and God. It is between you and God alone. David, I like what he does. He doesn't look to the right or to the left to see if anybody else is going to do it with him. Now, he wants the whole crowd to get involved, but he said, I don't care if y'all get involved in this or not, really. I've already made up my mind that I am going to do this because God has been so good in my life. And I promise you this, the best way to go home from a meeting like this is to go home being able to say, I'm glad I obeyed God. I don't know what everybody else got or if they got anything at all, but I tell you what, when God spoke to my heart, rang my bell, I responded and thank God I made my decision and discovered that the Lord is good. Here today is going to be a personal thing. Think about the personal nature of the psalm, the perspective that's gained in the psalm. Here it is. David's life in these first few verses change a lot. Ups and downs, ebbs and flow. But there's one thing that's constant throughout, and that's God in his life. You'll learn this eventually. And I heard Brother Stroud say this back in August, and then you said it again tonight when you prayed. Sooner or later, what he said is what you've been exposed to, right, has to become your own experience. Like the atmosphere and the truth and the preaching, one of these days you've got to get a hold of that and make it yours. And that's what David's saying. He said, I want you to taste this and see that the Lord is good. Some of you young men feel like God's dealing with you about preaching and you've not yet surrendered. I don't even know how to put it into words, how awesome it is to be a preacher. I love it. We get to do what we want to do. Some people say, I wish I could be this, that, or the other. Not me, man. I like doing what I do. I love it. And you young men sitting out there, you're going to have to make the decision, hey, listen, I got to taste and see this for myself. You hear people talk about being saved and how sweet it is. That man is 90 years old and said, I tell you, he's been more than I could ever imagine. You hear that and think, yeah, whatever. But I promise you this, once you get saved, you'll see that he's got it right. You taste and see that the Lord is good. Here lately in my meetings, I told them up in Roseville last night, I told the Lord that whenever I go somewhere to preach, if I'm there for more than one service, that I want to preach the gospel. I got under conviction reading about the Great Awakening and other revivals where unconverted church members were getting saved. And Pastor Trevor mentioned that on Sunday morning. And so the last 2 months, everywhere I go, one service preached the gospel. I've seen more church folk get saved in the last 2 months than I probably have in my whole ministry. And it's amazing how that'll change your attitude about church and about reading your Bible and about hymns and about living right when you just get saved. Because you get saved and you find out the Lord is good. I just wanted to start off this meeting tonight. Monday night, hard night to preach because everything going on. But I want to testify and tell you that the Lord is good. And I beg you, listen, just try. Just trust him. Just taste and see.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.